is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Tacoma ICE Processing Center through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement.
Notes from the Welcome Center. Our volunteers witnessed a tender moment when a man who had just been released was given a phone and he saw his baby son on FaceTime for the first time in 5 months. The young father, originally from Mexico, shared that his wife had not brought the baby to visit while in detention because it would have been too painful not to hold him. When volunteers saw the father's joy at the sight of his son, they had tears. Before leaving, the friends who came to pick him up made a $100 donation. Smaller donations are also gratefully appreciated. We received 2 containers of water, a box of Coke, a box of Fanta, and snacks from a woman who came by the Welcome Center. Through her friend, she explained that she had been released from detention exactly 1 year ago. She had been so thankful to Aid Northwest's help that she wanted to mark the anniversary with a donation. Many of our guests don't speak English. Others speak multiple languages and volunteer to help translate. One of our guests in October was Romanian, who in addition to speaking English, also spoke Spanish. After helping volunteers assist a woman from Colombia, he then jumped in to help 3 Indian travelers even though he did not speak Punjabi or Hindi. This, however, did not deter him. Volunteering at Aid Northwest is just that infectious. And 2 people were released at 2 o'clock. A man was met by his happy family, and a woman from Mexico handed us a number for the ticket her husband had already purchased. It turned out to be a 14-digit Expedia number, but we got on the phone with our guest's husband and found out the email address he used to buy the ticket. With that information, we were able to retrieve Alaska Airlines confirmation code from Expedia and print the ticket. We took the guest to the airport bus. Our next guest from India spoke only a little bit of English, but one of our volunteers speaks some Hindi, and we found out that the man had a brother in California who was buying his ticket. We offered to take him to the airport and fly out tonight, but he wanted to go to the Sikh temple for prayers. He was not released with an ID card, so we had to go back inside to have them print one. I drove him to the temple on my way home. A guest from El Salvador needed to get to a town some distance from Sacramento, but she and her family said they did not have the funds to pay for a flight. Even if we found a way to secure a ticket for her tonight, there was no one on the other end to pick her up. She spoke no English. We did not feel it was wise to put her on a late flight. So we took her to the hospitality house to spend the night and sort out arrangements tomorrow to get her to our family safely. A Seattle attorney dropped by. He had been seen inside the ICE facility trying to get information on when his client might be released and was told it would be in the next day or two. The lawyer had many complimentary things to say about Aid Northwest and says he's a regular donor. And it was a pleasant day at the Welcome Center. We welcomed one guest, a Jamaican gentleman who had been living in Oregon. He wanted to take the train to Portland, so we took him to the Amtrak station so he could buy his ticket at the counter, as he did not want to buy it online. A shout out to one Aid Northwest volunteer who graciously volunteered to house 9 Venezuelans, including 4 children. One of the children is turning 1 today, and they would have been living out of their car if she had not stepped in. Bravo! It's always a pleasure to work with such fine people. And we started with a slow day, only 2 releases on a warm afternoon, but all of a sudden, we had 6 additional guests. When we arrived, there was a 9:45 p.m. bus ticket to Spokane waiting for our guest. Because he had health issues, ICE had contacted Aid Northwest to make sure we met the man at the gate. Our guest was a man from Mexico who moved slowly and spoke softly. Luckily, we had a roller bag that would make it easier for him to carry his belongings for his journey. He wanted to get money from his family to use when he got to Spokane, but they couldn't do Zelle. Since his bus left very late, we thought we'd have time to take him by Walmart to pick up a MoneyGram on the way to the bus station. Our second guest was an exuberant Romanian man who was extremely eager to get to LA tonight. There was only 1 reasonably priced ticket, and it was for 8:15. We discussed it and figured out that on this slow day, I would take him to the airport at 6 on my way back to Seattle. It seemed unlikely that there'd be many more releases beyond another 2 who had families waiting at the gate and bypassed Aid Northwest. We were wrong. Around 5 p.m., we got 6 new guests. 3 men were from India, 1 from Colombia, 1 from Montenegro, who already had a ticket to New York, and a woman from Mexico. The guests from India initially all said they wanted to go to the Sikh temple to pray, and they'd make their travel arrangements tomorrow, but they were shocked at the taxi/Uber price to the temple, and there was much discussion and few decisions. At 6, I left for the airport with the men from Montenegro and Romania, and one of the Indian guests whom we helped to book a ticket for tonight. We confirmed that our guests from Colombia could spend the night at the hospitality house. The woman from Mexico had cash to buy a ticket for tomorrow morning. Aid Northwest volunteer driver Mark took two Indian men to the Sikh temple and the Mexican woman to the airport to wait overnight for her flight. At 7 p.m., we closed up and took the Colombian man to the hospitality house and our first guest to Walmart to get that MoneyGram. It would turn out that MoneyGram would not accept the ICE ID as valid. They wanted a state ID. We were not able to convince them it was good enough for TSA. Two volunteers gave our guests some pocket money, lots of snacks and water, and dropped them at the bus station with clear instructions to wait in a well-lit place on the balmy night. Many thanks to today's volunteers as they dealt with challenging people, technology, and situations with aplomb. Driver volunteer Mark went above the call to go to both the Sikh temple and the airport. We stayed in touch by phone and text, even as we went our separate directions. While it was stressful at times, we managed to get everyone on their journeys back to their families. And, while we were waiting for people to be released, a pastor came by. He said that he provides a worship service to the detainees inside every Tuesday. Depending on the audience, he offers their service in Spanish, or in both Spanish and English. About an hour later, an Indian man was released. At first, he said that his destination was Philadelphia, but he said that he had a friend nearby. Then, he said that he might just go to the airport. After calling his relative, friend, a Lyft driver came to pick him up. While we were waiting, I asked him if he came through Mexico. He said that he came through Canada. He had been a student there. And we greeted just one guest today, a young man from Nicaragua, around 3 o'clock. He was very excited to be released, particularly so because he would get to see his one-month-old child for the first time. Because it would take a long time for his partner to drive from Oregon, he waited with us and we dropped him off at the hospitality house to wait there. And our first guest was a man originally from Lebanon. He said that he had a U.S. permanent resident card. He lived in Canada for some time, and he had Canadian dollars with him. So I took him to Key Bank in downtown Tacoma to exchange his Canadian dollars for U.S. dollars, but the cash amount was still short to purchase a ticket. A family member sent us money via Zelle to make up the difference. Our second guest was a Venezuelan woman who was in the U.S. on a work visa. She tried to cross to Canada to get an asylum there, but was sent to the U.S. and into the detention center. She had her own credit card to purchase the ticket. A volunteer took both guests to the airport. And another beautiful fall day to greet guests. We noticed a white van apparently waiting for someone. We walked down and met two Romanian brothers who drove up from Los Angeles to pick up one of their brothers who was to be released this afternoon. We talked about the beauty of Romania, where they have many family members. However, they said they are gypsies and were treated poorly in their country. They love the United States. We told them to be patient as it might take a few hours for their brother to be released. And it was a sunny but chilly day at the RV. We had two releases come out at 2:15 from India and Mexico. One was getting picked up by a brother in Seattle, and the other quickly got in touch with family who purchased a flight to New York for tonight. We had a slight snafu when Alaska Airlines wrote back to the friend who purchased the ticket that they needed to verify the credit card at an Alaska counter, but she wrote 20 minutes later that she got it sorted out. We're not exactly sure how. A volunteer took our ticketed passenger to the airport, and when we pinged the brother at 4:50, he was still 30 minutes away. We made the call to take the man to the house to wait in warmth. And four of us had a productive day, with 8 people released, but the Wi-Fi hotspots were acting up, causing some issues. The first 5 people came out around 4:30, a woman and 2 men from India, a man from Jamaica, and a man from Mexico. We worked with the man to get a ticket and contacted relatives who came to pick the others who were picked up after fairly long waits. After 5 o'clock, 2 sisters from Iran were released. They needed to get to California and had some cash, but it wasn't clear if they had enough or had someone at the other end to take care of them. We took them to the house so that we could make a plan tomorrow. I spoke to the ICE supervisor around 5:30, and he said we'd have one more person released, who came out after 6. We spoke to his family, who quickly got him a ticket to Kansas City for the morning. We took the 2 men to the airport for their morning flights. And it was a sunny but chilly day at the RV on Friday. Since we were not expecting many releases, I only set up 1 tent. We did get one release around 3:15, a woman from Vietnam who had been inside for 8 weeks. She showed us her wedding pictures as we waited for her family in Seattle to come pick her up. Her family arrived at 4:30, and we got the call from ICE around 5 that they were done for the day. And 5 guests were served at the Welcome Center today. Our first guest was an elderly lady from India who seemed a bit shaken. She was able to connect with a relative, and a gentleman came to pick her up around 4 o'clock. We embraced her tears, trepidation, and excitement. Then we greeted a woman from Haiti who has been in detention since August. She had entered the ICE facility with several $100s. Most of it, however, was now gone. She had spent it on phone calls to relatives and on commissary items, particularly Cheetos. The Welcome Center crew raided the snack box for more Cheetos for her and then took her to the airport for her flight. Many thanks are due to a volunteer Creole interpreter who helped us with travel arrangements by speakerphone. Finally, around 5:30, a trio of brothers from Romania arrived and we drove them to a McDonald's in Federal Way to meet their relatives. One has a court date tomorrow and then they're headed to California. They were amazed at Aid Northwest's support. All our guests were so appreciative and gracious. It was a heart-filled afternoon ending in a beautiful sunset. We closed up around 6:15. Here are the statistics for October. 44 immigrants served at the Welcome Center. 40 backpacks given to released immigrants. 6 deportation bags given. 8 hospitality house guest nights. 35 rides given to immigrants released from detention. 50 letters written to people in detention. 36 visits to people in detention. 12 coats given to traveling immigrants. 105 phone cards at $20 each equals $2,100. 639 total volunteer hours. Join us at our next community meeting, December 13th. We'll be writing holiday cards to people in detention. Wednesday, December 13th, from 11:30 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. at Peace Lutheran Church, 2106 South Cushman Avenue, Tacoma, Washington, 98405.
So this is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma and Aid Northwest, and I am talking with Linda Hahn, who is a new board member for the Aid Northwest board. Hi, Linda.
Hello there.
So I am very curious as to how you heard about Aid Northwest.
Well, I heard about Aid Northwest through one of the directors, and that is Patty. And so Patty has been a good friend for a long time, and we've worked on other clubs together. And she contacted me and has let me know about it for the last couple years. And I contacted her several months ago and said that I was interested in volunteering with the organization. And then after several more talks, I ended up working with her on the board with you as well.
Yeah. Well, you've been a wonderful addition to the board. I've been very impressed with your knowledge of how things work. I mean, I don't come from that sort of background. So, you know, I'm kind of just following orders.
Well, I think the wonderful thing about the team is that it's a diverse team and everyone has different experiences. And I find that that works best because if we all had the same skills, then we'd have problems.
Very true. Very true. Well, I have been very happy to see how the board has developed in the last couple of years, getting to know the board members, and then like today, interviewing you, you know, on a very one-to-one basis. What do you see your role then in Aid Northwest in general, not just on the board?
Well, I think number one, I'm a cheerleader, and that means just getting the word out about Aid Northwest, but more about the folks that we are helping and what the detention center is and how these people can be helped to find their family and resources so that they can integrate and be successful here. So I think number one is just being a cheerleader, because I suspect that there's not a lot of people that are familiar with either Aid Northwest or also how they can help folks that do come in and want to live here.
Yeah. Well, this monthly report and the interviews, of course, are all ways of getting the word out. So what would you like to let our listeners know
Well, I think one of the things is that there is a very diverse group of people that are coming here for a new life. And they're all coming here for different reasons. And they all need support. There are few people that come here with any resources. I mean, sometimes it's literally the clothes on their back. And so, very simple things such as providing clothing, providing phone call opportunities, visitations, and writing letters to them. A lot of them are here without family. All of those are very small things that don't take a lot of time, but make a huge difference for those people that just don't have anything. They have come here just with hope and trying to escape the fears and the misery, basically, the starvation, all those things, depending on where they come from, political persecution. There's a variety of reasons that people come here, but almost all of them come here with very little. And so very little that we can provide is a huge amount for them. And it doesn't take all of us giving time, just coats or donations for phone cards or little things like that make a huge difference.
Yeah, because what one phone card is $20?
It is. And that people say, oh, that must be a lot of money. And they might get to talk quite often. However, I believe that it's several dollars per minute for those detainees to be able to talk. So a $20 phone call card might provide 5 or 6 minutes of actual, ability to talk with family. So
Yeah, it's really difficult.
it'd
So,
be nice to change that system, wouldn't it?
wouldn't it though? So, have you been to the Welcome Center?
I have not. I am currently out of town and I'm a recent board member, as you know. And so I will be attending there. The closest I've come is donating a box of coats, but I have not been down there yet. So yeah, my plan is to be down there once a week once I return. Yeah.
Well, I've not been down there. I must confess. Part of it is because I'm not sure where it is. I mean, it's just out in the tide flats somewhere, which is to me, I don't understand because they let the people out of there, and of course they don't know where they are either.
Well, and that's another key thing that Aid Northwest provides is transportation. If it's a car or transportation to the train station, bus station, airport, because they don't know where they are. I'm sure they're given information when they leave, a map or resources, but I'm not sure how in depth that is.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I've not heard that they even get a map, but how much do I know?
It could be that the hospitality center provides something like that,
I'm sure
but
they do,
yeah.
because it's so disheartening that the detainees are released with nothing. I mean,
Yes, I
if the
know.
Welcome Center weren't there, I hate to think what would happen to these people.
Yeah, well, they would probably be joining the homeless. Or, I mean, many of them do have sponsors and relatives, but it's kind of our job is kind of helping them connect with those people or those sponsors. And so just that initial transportation to hook up with them, because I would say the majority of them do not have the family in the Washington State area. A lot of these detainees have come from all over, but not necessarily from Washington. So just providing that is helpful.
What I've heard too is that a lot of times they think they're in the other Washington. How confusing is that?
That's
I
pretty
mean,
darn confusing.
part of my hesitation in going there is I am pretty much monolingual. And I mean, I can pick up a few words like hola and gracias, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I don't know how much help I would be there, But anyway, so I do my bit. I try and get the monthly report together, and you're helping in that regard greatly. So thank you.
Well, I think, as I said, I think all of us coming in with different skills. We do have some people on the board and at the hospitality house that are fluent, but we also have so many languages coming in. It's not just Spanish-speaking folks, it's people from all over. And I know that part of the new website for AIDS Northwest has a map, and it shows all of the different countries and regions that the detention folks have come from, and also the kind of the percentage, which is very interesting. I didn't realize just how many come from different areas, where I thought it was mostly South America, but it's not necessarily all from South America. There's people coming from all different regions, and Cuba is also quite high as far as refugees coming.
I get the Welcome Center reports, and I see a lot from India and Ukraine now also.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that India is very high, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if people are coming through India to get here, or I'm not sure why the migration is so heavy from India. It could be something to do with Pakistan. I don't know.
Well, the stories are really incredible. So you mentioned the website. It's a new website too.
It's a terrific website. It just really it has personal stories from several of the immigrants about their journey here, and then also what they've done after leaving. And many of them are successful business people now and are contributing, locally and also all over. But there's some great personal stories there, as well as how people can help, and how Aid Northwest came to be, because they saw the need for it. It would be interesting to see what other detention centers have as far as resources. I haven't researched that, but I'm sure some folks on the board have.
So the new website, it's the same link as the old website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that is what, AIDNW.org. So I encourage people to check it out. That's
It's great. We have a couple events coming up too. We have Giving Tuesday, which is coming up in November, and so that is an opportunity for folks to give and donate as much or as little as they can afford. And then we also have an auction coming up February 10th, and that will be wonderful. That's going to be at St. Leo's. And we'll probably have something on the website for folks. There is a calendar with a map of events now on that new website. And so people will be able to go on there. They can also sign up for a newsletter from Aid Northwest, a monthly newsletter, if they'd just like to see what's going on every month. And so there's several different things coming up.
Okay, so Giving Tuesday is pretty close now. Do you recall the date, the exact date?
I believe it's November 28th.
28th. Okay,
Yes.
yeah, right around
Yes.
Thanksgiving. It's one way for
Yes.
people to give thanks.
It really is. It really is.
So, do you know how people can donate on that day? They just go to the website.
There is a website, and I'm not really sure as far I believe they just go to Giving Tuesday. If they were to Google it, they could do that and then search for Aid Northwest and click on the button, and it tells you how easy it is to donate.
Good, good.
Yeah,
Because
it's been a
I
couple
know
of
that,
years.
I know that they do keep some records of, how people donate so that they'll have that information. So, yeah. So Google Giving Tuesday and click on Aid Northwest, and there you go.
That's it. Yeah, should be able to do it. And there's also other great organizations on there. So it's been a couple of years since I've been on the site. But it's kind of nice because you can find virtually anything. If you want to give to pets and people and different organizations, there's pretty much anything you want to donate, you can find. Of course, you want Aid Northwest to be your top one, of course, but then
Course.
after that, there are so many on there, and you can donate to them and just get, little amounts add up.
That's very, very true. So is there anything that you would like to add to this before we say goodbye?
No, I think I'm just very happy to be a part of the organization and the team. And I think that anybody that wants to find out more should access that website, and you will find out so much about the organization and what they do.
Yeah, because it's important work and it's uplifting work too.
Yes, and there's very little overhead in there in what we do. We do offer a hospitality house for people that have been released and need a day or two to set up their transportation. So, of course, paying for that house and for them to stay there does cost a bit. But as far as administration, for as much as we do, the costs are very low.
Yep, it all goes towards a good cause.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. It's been good talking with you.
Well, thank you very much. It was good talking with you and learning a little bit more about you as well.
You take
Okay.
care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is AIDNW.org. You can email us at officeassistant@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.